Your sensors are correct. Do not adjust your heading. You've discovered the Omega Particle, streaming to the Alpha Quadrant and beyond. Here's your host, the anchorman of the Federation, the Doctor of Dilithium. This is Jonathan Wiegand.
Welcome to the Omega Particle Podcast. Like the man said, I am Jonathan Wiegand, your gracious and humble host, your anchorman of the Federation, broadcasting live across the Alpha Quadrant from my deep, deep Star Trek bunker on the eastern coast of the United States. And today we are covering the controversial, the beloved Mirror Universe in the entire Star Trek franchise. So it's Mirror Universe, or if you're a seasoned Trekkie like myself, the Terran Empire. And if you have no idea what I just said, you have no idea what these things are, then you're in the right place, my friend, because we're going to be covering all of that today and more. What is this Mirror Universe? What is this Terran Empire? How do they both come to be? So we have our Prime Universe in Star Trek, and now this Mirror Universe, supposedly, and how do they intersect? And what's the main benefit, really, of having this Mirror Universe for Trekkies? And we're going to cover all of that today. I'm really excited. Also, again, thank you for listening to our DS9 review. We're about to ship out another one in the next few days, so be on the lookout for that across all streaming platforms. Without further ado, we have a lot of show packed today, so we're not going to get into the usual introductions, but Luna, let's roll that beautiful bean footage. So what is the Mirror Universe? And I was talking to a friend about this, and he was like, the Mirror Universe, like a universe inside your mirror? And I was like, no, dear, no. So a mirror universe is simply just an alternate reality that's mirrored to ours. So that's about as complicated as it gets. The mirror universe is this very interesting concept in Star Trek that makes great use of this whole notion of alternate or parallel realities. So much that the 1960s original series episode spawned this idea of having evil doppelgangers from another universe. So it's a very pop cultural thing now, thanks to Star Trek. Of course, the mirror universe is merely one of many alternate realities that exist in Star Trek, but it is revisited more than any other alternate realities, and it even has its own in-universe name that emerged through the many years and episodes in the Star Trek. So the Mirror Universe, that's what they call it. And the existence of alternative realities has been a very long documented phenomenon in Star Trek, with their creation usually emerging from a change in the timeline. But you know, that's not always the plot that gets people into the Mirror Universe, and it's kind of almost like a trope now that every show kind of does their own version or their own take on the Mirror Universe. Yeah, I think there's only maybe a handful that haven't. So it's really kind of hilarious. I think maybe Voyager may not be the only one that did anything in the Mirror Universe because they're in the Delta Quadrant. So that'd be really bonkers for them to have a Mirror Universe episode when it's really the Terran and it's very Alpha Quadrant, like fiasco and war. So these parallels in Star Trek universes show that free will and choice creates the emergence of this other quantum timeline that then coexists, while at other times the prime timeline itself is altered by time travel related changes, and this happens in the episode Yesterday's Enterprise. But before we get into that, honestly, for now, this is besides the point, beyond identifying how the Mirror Universe came to exist, with many suspecting that, and myself included, that a change really occurred during or after the Second World War, with the Earth following a more cutthroat series of regime changes and authority through fears. There's a lot of different theories out there. One is you know, this American imperialism, that America became, conquered the world after World War II, and that, or even before that, that George Washington decided to become a king and turned us into this global superpower way back in the 1800s. And there's other people like myself that believe, like, maybe this is from the Axis's winning World War II, and that kind of pushed the world down a darker timeline. Or there's even some that believe that it's if Khan won the eugenics wars. So there's many different theories, which we'll get in part two. We'll cover all of those and debunk a lot of them, because a lot of them can be debunked. So we're going to go into that in episode two. But for now, let's just kind of focus on the facts that we know about the Mirror Universe. So we know for a fact in Star Trek canon and Star Trek lore, the earliest point of divergence that we see is in fact with Zefram Cochran conducting his warp flight in 2063. And as we all know, that drew the attentions of the Vulcans in the prime timeline and created first contact, and how we humans kind of got on the path of the Federation, peaceful exploration, etc. However, in the Mirror Universe, Cochran identified the Vulcans as these potential conquerors. So he killed the away team with a shotgun. I think it's an Enterprise, right, Luna? Luna the intern, everybody. He pulls a shotgun, kills the Vulcan first contact team, and they ransacked the ship, and then they study all the databases contained within, and that's how they learn about the wider universe, this very dark way, and as opposed to the very sweet, heartwarming scenes that we see in First Contact. And this approach was probably a product of a long history of mistrust and competitive nature inside the Terran universe. So that's why a lot of people put it back to, you know, World War II, back to the eugenics war, even maybe back to the 19th and 20th century, because we're like, something had to occur for Cochran to pull out a shotgun, you know? So it wasn't this, you know, he just changed his mind one day and altered this entire universe. No, it's a greater part of things, and Earth history has changed in some way from Earth or Terra. The Terran Empire formed with Starfleet as its military, and they began to aggressively spread out from Earth, branching out and attaining a lot of short-term spoils from other cultures and people they encountered, and they built a powerful stockhouse of technology and weapons, and forced a lot of their, I guess you could say, subordinates into servitude, and kind of took their distinctiveness and their uniqueness as of cultures and people and use it to their own gain, just like we've seen, you know, the Roman Empire, etc. So it's just they're kind of like building out as a mini empire, hence the Terran Empire. By the mid 22nd century, the Empire actually overtook Vulcan, and they're challenging the Klingon Empire, and they eventually had to kind of reconcile with them, which it will get into that, but they're kind of plateauing now. They've taken over Vulcan, a huge deal. They're kind of at peace, at odds, Cold War-ish with the Klingons. We'll get into that later. But so they're kind of at a plateau. And I think that's the problem with this whole approach, is that with Terran Empire constantly going out and conquering and expanding their borders and consolidating power, they constantly have to project that power, constantly have to project that aggressiveness and that terrible ideology. And if they don't, they're going to fear that their grip is loosening. This is the main point and the main interest of the Mirror Universe, and its conquest and its fear and authority, period. So given so much has already changed, this is a cool thing to think about with the Mirror Universe. So given so much has changed, it seems remarkable that there would be a Zefram Cochran, that there would be a Starfleet, an Enterprise NX-01, let alone mirror universes of Captain Jonathan Archer, of Sato, of T'Pol, of Sisko, so on and so on and so on. I mean, just think about it. Despite events unfolding very differently in Earth's history between the Prime and the Mirror, these characters' existence implies, you know, that their parents still managed to get it on. Their parents still decided to meet up, procreate. They had these characters, and they ended up in positions similar to their prime universe counterparts as well. Now, isn't that odd? Because the very idea of that happening is incredible. And for this reason alone, the mirror universe is considered a point of fascination in Starfleet in the prime reality. Because they're like, why are we bonded to the mirror universe? Clearly, there's some type of overlay between the two universes, you know, that people emerge by all rights that should never have happened when the timeline diverged so long ago. And not only diverged so long ago, but they still manage to move in similar circles to their alternate reality counterparts. So just think, like, the fact that, you know, we had great ancestors, say in World War II, turned out to be really bad, even worse than it was, if you can imagine, and the Axis win, and the war goes on for another 5 or 10 years. So the fact that your ancestor may not have been drafted or killed in action, I mean, it just changes the odds drastically. So that is why, you know, there has to be a bond here between the two universes. And not only that, think about this, but the technology developed ends up resembling that of both universes as well. And the part that they start to drift away, something always happens that ties them back together, even closer together again. Like I mentioned earlier, there's always these Star Trek series interpretations of the mirror universe. DS9 has it, Enterprise, the show, has it, etc., etc. So they always tie back together. Even Star Trek Discovery has it. So it just seems that they're closer together, and if they drift too far apart, it'll collapse, which we will cover shortly. So buckle in, everybody. I mean, the fact that even in Star Trek Discovery, they even raise several points, you know, that they picked up the similarities that came with the individuals. They made a point of it to be like, this is kind of ridiculous. And as we all know, in Discovery, that entire ordeal was classified and they retconned it. So, you know, Kirk and Spock and everybody on the original Enterprise didn't know about it, etc. And if you think about where Discovery was, it kind of makes sense. They just endured the Klingon War. They didn't want people from the Prime Universe, you know, hopping around different realities looking for copies of people they might know or even knew, as we see with Jennifer and Benjamin Sisko. It's just, and I mean, and plus you don't want to antagonize the mirror universe. That might draw attacks. Again, that's what we saw in DS9 as well. So those are all valid concerns. And again, if when I say with Benjamin Sisko and Jennifer, is that Sisko loses his wife during the Battle of Wolf 359, but in the mirror universe, his wife is alive. So it's complicated. Let's just say that. I'm not going to spoil that. We'll cover it on the DS9 review in a few seasons. But now, since this is kind of an introductory episode of the Mirror Universe explaining what's going on, I want to talk about kind of contamination between the two. How have the two kind of interacted before in the past? And there's a lot of ways we could do this. We could give you a year-by-year breakdown of the history of that and a year-by-year breakdown and history of the Terran Empire. But that would just be too much, and frankly that's very boring for you, the beautiful listener out there all across the world. You don't want to hear a history lesson that's like, in 2273 the Terran Empire conquered this random planet. Like, nobody wants that. That's boring. That's why we're gonna spice it up, baby. I'm gonna give you the cliff notes, because you got stuff to do, I got stuff to do, Luna's got stuff to do, maybe if she's not at home, but look. Anyway, so let's start it off. A quick, clean overview of the interactions between the mirror and the prime timeline. So in 2268, of the main reality, as we'll call it, the Constitution-class USS Defiant became trapped in this interphasic space, and it fell through into nothingness but emerged back into time in the Mirror Universe. And so you had this trove of 23rd century Starfleet technology, and it was found by the Terran Empire, and it was a massive boom for them, you know, because it was just starting to fracture under its own weight, and it conquered a lot of its local territory, and it was really struggling to maintain a grip on those rebelling worlds. And now they claim this vessel and they reverse engineer the technology, which was kind of a simple feat because they basically had the Terran tech anyway, so it just kind of met. And that's the basis of the Enterprise rendition of their Mirror Universe episodes. So by the time the 23rd century rolls around, their technology has stagnated once again, because again, they didn't have this beautiful gift dropped on their feet like they did with the USS Defiant. And it's not the same Defiant as DS9, just it's a Constitution class Defiant. So just they're putting that out there, so I don't want anybody confused, and I don't want to get comments, is that the same one? It's not. Their technology is stagnating, and both with the Discovery and the Enterprise encountering the Mirror Universe at a similar technological level, it didn't seem like the 100-year head start from the USS Defiant really infected things too long, because it just was, again, a gift, and it really didn't push them forward. So from Kirk's interference with Mirror Spock, the Empire finally embarked on a radically different course, but then fell to outside powers bent on revenge. And by the time the Mirror Universe in Deep Space Nine rolls around, it had fallen to a very different status quo, which happens. So again, to recap, Kirk kind of interfered with Mirror Spock, made him change his views a little bit. But by the time we see in DS9 come around, everything's crazy. The Klingons and the Romulans are working together, and they're fighting the Terran Empire, and it's a bloody mess. And I mean, going back to what we're talking about, even with DS9, despite all of these changes, these massive, massive changes, the individuals, Mir Sisko is there, Kira, Bashir, and there's even a freaking real flesh and blood Vic Fontaine. If you haven't watched DS9, Vic Fontaine is like the 1940s Vegas Frank Sinatra hologram program. So now he's flesh and blood, but we'll not get into that. And so this, to me, this only reinforces the interest that the Mirror Universe has. And once more, you know, the contamination from the Prime Universe leaks always into the plans and the events of the Mirror Universe. Again, there's that bond there. So what is the future of the Terran Empire? What do we know? And it's only alluded to outside of the shows, but I'm very curious where it ends up and where it goes. And personally, I would love for it to have a very dark path, a darker path, because, well, I think it's just more fun to see that instead of we just got another Mirror Federation. It's like, okay, whatever. Essentially, no matter how far events begin to drift from the Prime Universe, the Mirror always seems to have the people, places, events, and technology in common with the Prime, despite that not making any sense. And I agree, it doesn't make sense. So don't come at me. I'm just the messenger. And what we see in Discovery is that by the 32nd century, so spoilers on Discovery there, we learn that on some level, the Mirror Universe was too, quote unquote, far away from the bond. They kind of broke away even more from the Prime timeline, and has been that way since the 27th century. And that was the last reported contact with the Mirror Universe. And that what's more, individuals from the Mirror Universe located in the Prime Universe suffered really a bad extensive sickness and even fracturing themselves as they were too far away from their plane of origin. Okay, so again, this is Discovery, so, and you guys know how I feel about Discovery. If you like it, great. I'm not gonna trash you for liking something. That's cool. But the writing here is tough, because what I see is like, okay, what is this distance between the two planes and the two universes? Is there differing realities, or in some type of orbit over each other, some type of orbit over the millennia? or events in that timeline now are so different that whatever force was keeping it together eventually failed. So it was parallel so long that a few degrees over, 500 years eventually makes it unreconcilable. Maybe. Nobody knows. That's the problem. There's not a lot of canon lore about this. So Terran history was eventually well enough understood that it was actually studied in the prime timeline. Although it still has a reputation as a very dangerous culture, a very dangerous thing to study and to be around. In our timeline and where we are in real life, real land, as me and you are talking and listening right now, external Starfleet media says there's so much books and games and comic books. There's hundreds of things you could go down to. And then it gets into the question, what's canon, what's not? So I'm just trying to stick within the shows here. And speaking of the shows, kind of going back to that, I definitely believe that Starfleet would place operatives and agents in the Mirror Universe to kind of observe it, keep tabs on it. Just, like they would do with the Romulans or the Cardassians or the Klingons, just kind of keep them close, kind of keep an eye. I mean, if Section 31 would probably be doing this, and of course, Section 31 would absolutely 100% do this, so it's tough to say what would happen, but I don't know. In fact, I would assume, considering we learn there are temporal agents recruited from the timeline, that Starfleet would eventually form some interdimensional agency exclusively for dealing with any crossing event. It would be smart to do that. They kind of had that we see in the temporal Cold War from Enterprise, but I know not everybody is very well versed in Enterprise lore. Luna, I like Enterprise. I've seen it probably 4 or 5 times. It's in my rotation. It's good. It's okay. The ending's terrible, but it's all right. That kind of explains Starfleet's interest and fascination in this universe. But what about ours? What about us as Trekkies? In the real land and we are right now. Why would we really care about the Mirror Universe? And I think there are so many great narrative reasons for visiting the Mirror Universe. The first one, I believe, is simply that it's great. It's fun to see darker versions of characters we know and love. I think that's awesome. It's fun to look into an established individual that we know that's been fleshed out and see how far they can be twisted into something else, where we get to kind of ask a bunch of fun questions, like Prime Sisko still be a pirate and a charismatic raider if he grew up in the Terran Empire? Would our Julian Bashir still kind of be a thug if he had not been augmented and lived here? Would Kira Nerys be this crazy sex addict, manipulator, murderer if she grew up in our timeline? I don't know. It's fun to see. Either way, so this is why I believe the Mirror Universe arc of Star Trek Discovery was way, way too soon. We had not yet appreciated the characters that the show had just introduced to us and not focused on the so-called impact of meeting their evil versions of themselves. And it was severely lessened to me as a viewer because I didn't know these Discovery characters that well. I could care less. And if you contrast the episode to Mirror Mirror, which premiered in season 2 of the original series, or even Crossover in DS9's second season, we got to enjoy that because we got to see the power plays of Entomedon Kira, and we saw her just be brutal and flip on a dime and then be overtly perverse. And then, we got to see these sides of characters that there could be there because they've been so fleshed out. And Discovery just didn't have that, and they just was not good. So we could appreciate the complete opposites on a show, but just not the way Discovery did. It was too soon. And in fact, this was one of the main motivations for writer Jeremy Bixby when he first penned the original script for the original Mirror Mirror episode. Although the original versions of the tale were far less menacing setting, but instead, a Federation was on the brink of defeat, and one of the earlier terms was going to be Universe of the Damned. So it was completely different than what we saw now. And brings me to my second point, and that's narrative freedom. That's one of the big benefits we have. So we can explore some big world-changing concepts and ideas without affecting the continuity of the shows or resorting to this, you know, it was all a dream bullcrap that we see in a lot of other sci-fi shows. In the Mirror Universe, we get to explore what the Federation would look like as an evil entity. Then, in later years, we get to see what it would look like if it fell to another oppressive power altogether. So, both are universe-shattering events, but we couldn't drop that in the main series. That would just kill so much, and it would be bad. In the flow of Star Trek, it would just not be good. But an alternative approach, we can see the road not taken, and it creates a lot more opportunities for tales, like I said, that just don't fit in a regular Trek. And we all know Starfleet does have its darker aspects, but they're usually presented in a way that, even when justified by saying it's for the greater good, like Section 31, I mean, there's still clearly horrid acts that they've done, especially like looking at the disease that they gave the founders in DS9. It's genocide. That's a terribly horrid act. And it is meant to challenge our morality, and it's meant to challenge the characters involved. With that, you know, sometimes the Mirror Universe is portrayed as a hostile and just abhorrent place through the lens of characters from our prime reality. And the goal is always to, you know, escape in which way to tell a story. But I do believe the Enterprise two-parter that was set entirely in the Mirror Universe, they were not the good guys. And, you know, I don't really get into a lot of these other video games and things like that where everybody's evil and everyone's terrible. Look at like a House of Cards or a Mad Men, you know, where everybody's awful, everyone's a dick. But I see the allure, and I see why people do like those type of shows and settings, because, you know, everyone is some level of evil. You just have to figure out who it is and what they're gonna do, what they're willing to do. And I feel like the Mirror Universe provides a similar background. It's fun to see the scheming, the assassinations, the rising through the ranks, and then the fear once you get that acclimation of power, and the fear to hold on to it. Being the bad guys is fun to play sometimes. So both in universe and from a storytelling standpoint, it's a very interesting location that I think will be revisited by Star Trek for as long as there's Star Trek around. Like I said, every series has its own iteration, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're definitely going to have them in years forward. So it's a very rich playground to go into with very little consequences. I mean, even the freaking Kelvin timeline has its own mirror universe. And we're just not going to talk about that. But let me know what you think. What era of the mirror universe would you like to see? And what do you think about potentially bringing it in to, you know, another new Star Trek series? We'll have to see. I, for one, would like to know their involvement, you know, in the temporal Cold War. I think that would be cool to see that and see how that all played out, and for that whole subject to be revisited again. So we'll have to see. But that has been our introductory episode to the Mirror Universe. And thank you so much for listening. And Luna, let's wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening. It's been great deep diving into the Terran Empire and the Mirror Universe, and especially with the part two that we're going to come up with. So we're going to talk about who the real founders of the Terran Empire are and debunk a lot of the theories out there. Like I said, could it have been a massive Imperial United States? Could it have been a eugenics war con that tipped the scales of human history? Could it have been the Axis is winning World War II? We're going to get into it. Do not worry or fret, my friends. And then next, I even want to get into the science a little bit. We're kind of doing prep for the episode now and looking into the science of parallel universes and 8th and 10th dimensions mirrored right on top of one another. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I am so excited for that. But just, again, have to do a real quick shout out before we wrap up to my buddies' blog, www.jasontalksmovies.wordpress.com. Please go and check it out. He always has great, hilarious stuff. And I know he's about to see Dune 2. I think he even bought the popcorn bucket. So watch out, ladies. I weep for our society. Have you seen that thing, Luna? The popcorn bucket? It's ridiculous. I know, I shouldn't be talking about this. This does not even relate to Star Trek. Either way, go check out his blog. It's always great, hilarious, fun, informative stuff. And remember, everybody, take care of yourselves out there. Take care of the people around you. And as your anchorman of the Federation, signing off, second start of the right, straight on till morning.